Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're not actually dealing with a dead person, you're dealing with an AI system. But all these patterns, loop behaviors, high EMF spikes, neurological effects, and geographical consistency didn't line up with the idea of a ghost or spirits. It's a very stealthy AI-based data network. Well, mathematically, we've modeled it out to be a high-resolution defense network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to That UFO Podcast. As always, my name is Andy, and joining me on today's show, a much-requested guest over the last couple of months, I have an experiencer, researcher, and author of the books Quantum Paranormal and The Sphere Network. Welcome to the podcast, Patrick Jackson.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Good to have you on, Patrick. Like I say, genuinely, a lot of people asking for you to pop on. You've been on various shows over the last year or two. Ross Coulthart's News Nation was quite a big appearance not too long ago. A lot of folks chatting off the back of that. If you dive through the YouTube comments, a lot of interesting conversation. And the Sphere Network, the conversation around these objects in our skies, not necessarily the classic UFO saucers crafts, is really taking off in a big way. A very controversial topic, depending on what side of the fence you lean on with these. There's a lot of interpretation, but you yourself have done a lot of digging, a lot of work, and I really look forward to digging into that as part of this conversation, Patrick. But first off, always like to start with the basics for a guest. And for anyone not having seen your work before, not having heard or seen you, can you just give us a bit of context and background as who is Patrick Jackson and what's brought you to this point in your life?
Obviously, my name is Patrick Jackson, author of two books, Quantum Paranormal and Sphere Network. I grew up in a very paranormal hotspot in Cambridge, and it was so common it actually became quite normal. So I used to see flying spheres over the rooftops, over streetlights. I used to see a lot of ghosts as well, ghost kind of stuff going on. And it just became normal. And it wasn't until I grew up a bit and moved away that it kept on bugging me, like what was going on, what was I seeing and so forth, that I decided to use my own career, my own kind of background in IT, to attempt to reverse engineer it. And that's what I did. And I started, I think it was in 2014, 2013, when I really started getting my teeth into it. Before then, I was watching all the paranormal TV shows and none of it made any sense to me. None of it gelled with me, didn't make any logical sense to me anyway. So that's me, really. And since then, I'm doing research currently. I have things ongoing. I have projects ongoing, and they will be coming out in a few months.
Nice. And can I just ask then, for early years, before we get into the presentation, what were the first sort of episodes of high strangeness? You mentioned ghosts and different encounters that you remember. What's the earliest that goes back?
The best one I came across was when it was like a Friday or Saturday night, something like that, and it was like in summer, and I was sitting on the swing waiting for the local pub to open. It's like a little social club we have there. Mm-hmm. And I just looked across the field and there was this guy standing there as dressed as a monk. And I was like, what's that? You know? And this guy had a hood up. You could see like all the detail on his clothing. And he was about, you know, it's hard to say because it was so long ago, but maybe 15, 20 meters away from me, something like that. And so I shouted at him for a little while, but he didn't move. It was literally like someone had plonked a statue in the middle of the field. And this is like a football field, so it's completely flat, not like a farmer's field. And he didn't move. So I actually got a laser pointer out of my pocket, and I put the laser on the ground all the way to his leg and then up on his chest and onto his face. And it reflected. So it was actually physically there. But when I got it in the face, it was like he had a hood up and it was all complete blackness here. And I noticed the laser beam went from really bright to being really dim. So it's kind of like something weird going on there. And I was like, okay, that's so strange, you know. But still no reaction, nothing, just like a statue. So I got up and I started walking towards it. You know, this is like my own back garden kind of thing. So I wasn't kind of intimidated by it. I was just like, you know, what's going on here, you know? So I got close to it, got within a few meters, and just disappeared into the background, just dissipated like smoke. And then I actually just happened to ask some of the locals. I said, so what? I think I just saw like a monk cross the fields or something. And they said, oh, yeah, that's the mad monk. He haunts here. I was like, I've never heard of that story before, and I've never seen it since. So it was like literally like a one-off event. But it wasn't for a few minutes. It was literally for maybe 5-6 minutes. So it wasn't like 10 seconds or something. It was a long period of time this was going on for. And that is, yeah, these things just kept on bugging me. And then I got into the mainstream paranormal research, the TV shows, Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, you know. Here in the UK, we had the other one. What was it called? I can't remember now. Most Haunted, that's the one. And I just found what they were saying didn't make any sense. I could see what they were seeing and what they were experiencing, but didn't make any sense to me at all. And I just thought, well, you know, in my day job, I work in databases and I do a lot of reverse engineering in processes and so forth. And I've done a lot of projects where, you know, which are very critical in companies. And I just thought, well, you know, why don't I just treat this like as a technical project and just see what I find? And that's how the book was born.
And finally, how does that transition into the sphere network research? Is that part of the presentation, or should we cover that first?
That's
in the presentation. Well, Patrick, let's go for it. I'm just going to mention, folks, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see the presentation. You'll see the visuals along with it. If you're on the audio side of things, I'll make sure if there's anything that requires being edited out, it's a smooth audio journey for you as well. So you're not going to miss out, other than the visuals that you might want to check out on the YouTube platform at a later time. But Patrick, I'm going to share the screen for the good folks on the visual side of things. And from there, you can take it away.
All right. Okay, so this is my book, The Sphere Network. It is said to be in the top 5 UAP books in the world. In my case, I approached this as a technical project. Basically, it is corporate level reverse engineering, but predominantly on poltergeists in the beginning. And then once I figured out poltergeists, it then moved to the Sphere Network. And that's what this book is about. This book is about 20 years really of research, and about 5-6 years of actual real, you know, on your feet, kind of getting your hands dirty, getting out there and seeing what you find and detect and so forth. The key is really advanced pattern recognition. It's not just technical troubleshooting, it's logical mapping and analysis. So for the past few years, I've been presenting clear examples of UAP spheres in action. About a year before those hearings, I shared my working model with Senator Gillibrand. And unexpectedly, the spheres themselves became a major topic in during the US hearings. The spheres themselves are no minor detail, as they account for 52% of all recorded UAP sightings. The government itself is in a very difficult position, as they generally don't like what they can't control. So I think the strategy is to let the civilians piece it together independently. And what will happen is that the smart observers will see the patterns, while the reactive individuals will dismiss them. And that is really the safest outcome. As Professor Nolan noted, I identified these spheres in photos going back decades, which makes them a very powerful tool for verifying both historic and modern images. As hoaxers didn't know about the spheres, they couldn't fake what they didn't know existed. According to 2023 stats from England and Wales, 1,800 people die every day. However, paranormal activity itself doesn't increase year on year. It generally stays the same low level and location specific. So eventually I kind of got tired of it, and with the vague explanations, blurry ideas and thinking. So I thought to myself, well, you know, if I can reverse these complex issues at work, why not just use the same mindset on the paranormal and see what I can find? And again, it wasn't really my intention to write a book. It was just a way to kind of clear it from my head. So this here is where I did most of my testing. So this is Study East Drive, voted most haunted house in the UK. In fact, the police don't go in here. And you can rent the place out and go and see it for yourself. The most active area is down here, which is very important, this bit here, and on the top floors right here. In fact, the layout of the building is very important to what's actually going on there. So back in 2015, I spent 4 nights at Study East Drive, also known as the Black Monk House. I went in not as a believer, but as an analysis, observing, measuring, recording. These behavior patterns are not human behavior patterns. Instead, they are mechanical, computer-like, process-driven actions. Now, here on the staircase is where a lot of activity occurs, poltergeist activity, like things being thrown and other objects and so forth. If on the third step at the base of the stairs, which is down here, directly above, consistently shows a high moving EMF levels, electromagnetic frequency spikes, which are not random, not occasional, but repeatable and predictable. These fields appear to make one feel dizzy and when passing through them. And these emissions themselves are not present 24/7, but they will appear and disappear as in switch on and off. So even if you turn all the power off in the building and you walk here and you have your EMF meter, you will get a very high reading. And if you put it up here, you'll get an even higher reading. And what it is there is a source up here, either above this area or inside the woods, in that area, that is producing these high energy magnetic fields. And again, these aren't here all the time. They come and they go. And if you turn all the power off in the building, they still come and go. And if you walk through this field down here, if you walk from the bottom stairs all the way up, you actually start to feel dizzy as well. So this is the first example. So what I observed in the place is what people call the Black Monk. And what it is, it's basically a black mass that moves around very fast. And what I observed here was a vertical black mass that moves digitally without weight or resistance. It moves at a set rate, instant speed, and stop. And this is it right here. So this will just come into frame and then it will instantly just move off somewhere else. And it's interesting because when I saw that, it moved in a very technical way. It moves in a very set, controlled way, like a machine. This here is another example of it. So this here was a taken infrared film. What you're seeing here is a small silver sphere, which is hovering off the ground. Now, this is interesting because I've seen these before. In fact, when I was growing up in my old village, I used to see these flying around all the time, up in the clouds and also over the streetlights as well. So when I saw this, it was like the eureka moment, because everything that I was witnessing in the building kind of made sense. You're not actually dealing with a dead person, you're dealing with an AI system. Because it says here, like, all these patterns, loop behaviors, high EMF spikes, neurological effects, and geographical consistency didn't line up with the idea of a ghost or spirits. The eureka moment I got hold of this image, which once filtered, comes out of a small silver sphere, approximately the size of a baseball. And this has also been seen down Skinwalker. They picked the same thing up on their infrared cameras. This here are historical images or depictions of the same object. Again, a small glowing sphere, which is flying through a wall inside a building. This is from 1903. And yeah, these small spheres can do a thing called quantum tunneling, which means that they can fly through physical objects like walls and so forth. This was also seen during World War II with the Foo Fighters, because the Foo Fighters and the spheres are the same thing. And they were flying actually inside the planes, and they were flying around the plane, and then they'll fly out again. Now, people will ask, like, well, this one's glowing and this one isn't, so how does that work? Well, how it appears to work is these objects are using a field-based propulsion system, which is creating a very high-energy field around the shell. And this is causing it's an electrical gas interaction. So what it's doing is energizing the gas molecules in the air, and it's creating photons. And that's where this light is coming from. Ball lightning and these objects are the same thing. It's just it's been misinterpreted as lightning when it's not. It's actually these spheres. So this begs the question. So why are these small spheres in the buildings? Why are they performing physical actions, as in poltergeist activity, to move, you know, to around the house? And why are people getting physically affected? Well, like advanced drones, they need three main functions to operate. First, it needs to send and receive signals. It needs a network, and it needs AI. AI being key to repetitive actions. We know that repetitive actions are occurring as a door banging and have been observed by many groups over many years, and that pattern is consistent. So if you study other poltergeist cases, you'll notice they all share the same behavior patterns: banging doors, throwing objects, strange electrical effects, even catching things on fire. It's the same AI pulling from the same library of pre-coded actions. So the first thing you look for is a transmission, because it needs to send and receive signals. And that's what I went looking for. And this is what I found. What we found was an 18-bit code with the two bits used for synchronization. This is the first bit here, synchronization code and bit, and this is the second synchronization bit. And this here is the actual data packet. And this is burst relaying from these buildings. So yeah, what I did was we managed to sample some of that information and put it through a machine to then break down the signal, which is this. In fact, 18-bit code is actually, according to Ross Coulthard, is the sweet spot for signal intelligence. So the 18-bit is used in the military, and it appears the Sphere Network uses it as well. So once I found the signals being broadcast from this location, I then thought, okay, well, this needs a network. So I went looking for a network. So what I'd done was I mapped below the UK buildings, areas that are highly active, observed locations within highlighted areas with similar point-to-point distances. This pattern indicates a low-to-ground network is in operation and is technically similar to a network topology of a microwave-based point-to-point communication relay system. Microwaves, because only microwaves can travel in straight lines and is secure. So these here are some of the most active buildings in the UK, where poltergeists and so forth are occurring. And if you look, they're all very similar point-to-point distances, which is very similar, if not replicates, through microwave-based communication networks.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
So I'm going to show you now evidence of artificial intelligence. So from observing the behaviors in the house, I concluded that the small silver spheres are using rule-based artificial intelligence, meaning that they have pre-coded responses and outcomes for specific actions and triggers. So the question is, why would you bang the coal shed door? Why would that happen? So this here is the layout of the building itself. And if you look, we were up here in bedroom 2, and this door down here on the ground floor side banging, which is on the recording. So what is occurring is we're getting these high energy emissions from this area here, which is right here on the second floor. And what's happening is that when this needs to relay, it is moving us to the most shielded part of the building. So what we've detected is that these things are producing gamma radiation and microwave bursts. So what is happening is we're up here, it needs to relay, it then bangs this coal shed door, everyone goes rushing down to have a look at this coal shed door banging. So what we're looking at is evidence of artificial intelligence, because you have the small silver spheres are inside the building and they know where you are in the building, and then they are intentionally moving you to a safe part of the building to shield you from the high energy emissions. So this here is a still from a video I found. What it was in a haunted house, and this team, all their sensors were going off, and they looked up towards the basement, and sorry, they looked up towards the attic, and they found, they saw this small silver sphere flying off the ground, or small circular objects flying off the ground. This is consistent because it appears that the spheres, type 3 spheres, will operate in one or two locations of the building. It's either the attic or the basement, depending on the style and the structure of the building itself. So what I figured out was, based on the field data and signal analysis, the rule-based AI appears to be at work. Its function is to divert people away from high-energy microwave bursts that are about to occur. This includes emissions like gamma radiation and microwave bursts. These diversions aren't random. They follow rules and patterns, and they take the forms of noises, moving objects, and emotional influence. To witness this behavior appears as classic poltergeist activity. In reality, these actions are likely to be safety protocols, moving people to lower risk zones within the structure. The spheres appear to function as on-demand transponders. This would explain why poltergeist activity is often intermittent, location specific, and this theory was independently validated. Jim Segala conducted field tests in the Utah Basin and confirmed that gamma radiation and microwave bursts are being picked up, exactly the same patterns that I had modeled. And this is what he picked up. So here, what he did was he put these sensors into these buildings that were getting strange paranormal-like activity. And they were just letting them run for weeks on end. And what you're picking up here is a microwave radiation burst and a gamma radiation burst, which is the same thing as I'm picking up in these buildings. So it says here, the occurrence of the type 3 spheres generating black masses, shadow figures, as well as microwave and gamma radiation bursts within buildings is leading to this phenomena. As a result, they initiate actions aimed at moving people away, commonly known as poltergeist activity, which follows principles of the universe square law of radiation. I believe this is fully supported by the data provided by Dr. Jim Segala. So the question is why are people like feeling sick and fainting in these buildings? And you know, the mainstream media and the shows all blame demons and so forth. Well, these spheres, as I said, are producing gamma radiation and microwaves. So the question is, what do they do? So low doses of gamma radiation can have various physical effects on the human body and mind. These effects include nausea and vomiting, fatigue and tiredness, headaches, dizziness and fainting, skin redness and irritation, decreased appetite, weakness and lethargy, cognitive impairment, or changes in mental function, all of which are common with people who experience or live in what we call haunted houses. And this is not just 30 East Drive, but this is every haunted building in the world. So the analysis of it is that the baseball-sized type 3 spheres appear to create a dynamic microwave-based data network that can move around to its needs. That uses buildings itself to help absorb the electronic signatures and master gamma radiation bursts. They use AI and pre-coded actions to move away when needed, and this has been misinterpreted as evil spirits and ghosts over our history. Depending on the type of the building, they will operate into one of two main areas, either the basement or the attic, depending on the electromagnetic absorption rates. Because they use burst relaying, it means that the network itself is near undetectable from the sky, because it all blends in with background radiation. In other words, it's a very stealthy AI-based data network that can move around to its needs while keeping the general public at bay using scarecrow-like actions. And this is why the mainstream paranormal researchers have got nowhere in the last 80 years.
Now look, I cover strange mysteries all the time on this show, but trying to lose weight might be one of the most frustrating mysteries of all. And I know, because over the last few years my own weight's gone up and down too, so I know how hard it can be to stay on track. That's where Weight Loss by Hims comes in. With Wegovy at Hims, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite and eat less, so success is within reach. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there are no needles needed. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. Ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/thatufo to get a personalised, affordable plan that suits you. That's hims.com/thatufo. hims.com/thatufo. Weight Loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information and restrictions, visit hims.com.
So this here is my logical model I came up with. This is the basic architecture of how the sphere network operates. You have the type 3 spheres down here. And by the way, this model here was given to Senator Gillibrand a year before the first American UAP hearings, which ironically, in the beginning, we were going to have lots of meetings, but then it all went quiet. The doors all slammed. And when the meeting did go ahead, the hearing go ahead, they were talking about spheres. So this is what we have. You have the type 3 spheres, which are those of the ground. This line here represents the ground. They operate just off the ground, maybe 10 feet. These create a dynamic microwave-based network, which spans across the country in lines and clusters, which is very similar to our own long-haul microwave-based communication networks. These then link up to the type 2 relays. These are larger variants, about the size of a bowling ball. These are seen above treetops and buildings. They're probably the most commonly seen ones in the world because they operate low to the ground. And then you have the type 1B formation, which is a big triangle in the sky. These are even larger spheres. And what they do, they will create an equilateral triangle in the sky, and it will move and sink and twist in the sky in complete synchrocy. So this here's a really good example of the type 2s. Again, they have to operate in a line of sight basis, which means that they have to physically see each other to communicate. So things like mountains and obstacles, they have to work around. In this case, as you can see here, it's actually working around a mountain or a hill. However, they do a function which is called daisy chaining. So to explain daisy chaining, you have the type 3s down here, down on the ground. This is the data network. This is doing dynamic linking across the country. They then go up to the type 2s. But depending on the distance between where the V formation needs to be and where the data network is, they then have to daisy chain on the type 2s as they go across the sky. The final type 2 in this daisy chain is located behind the type 1 V formation, which is located dead center relative to the V formation center, which I'll show you in a minute. This one here, these here are the type 1s. These are the largest of the variants. And these are the triangles that everyone's seeing in the sky these days. And these are now so common that I think it's literally every other day there's a new video. So the question is what are these spheres doing? Well, mathematically, we've modeled it out to be a high-resolution defense network. So what is happening is that you have these three spheres here are doing a two-dimensional scan of the sky. So it's like a radar. It just knows something's in that general direction. And then this one here is doing a distance calculation. And when you add that distance calculation in, it then creates a 3D tracking in space. So this system here is a trilateration system that is a high-resolution tracking targeting system in space. And what it's doing is, if you can imagine, like it's up in the sky like this. And what it's doing is it's picking up the electronic emissions that these craft are producing, and then it's homing in on it using trilateration. And then the distance one at the back is figuring out exactly where it is in space. And at that point, it can track it perfectly. So again, what are these things doing? Well, this is how it models out. You have the type threes. These operate inside buildings. They use a dynamic network that connects up to the type twos. The type twos then link up to the type one V formations, and then they coordinate together to intercept space-based external threats. So yeah, what it appears to be is that the our night sky is full of ultra-terrestrial engineering. And once you see the patterns and once you see the mathematics of how it works, you just can't unsee it anymore. And that's what it is. As a result, I'm actually building a platform now that will enable people to look at the night sky and see it for themselves. And this will be a pure database system. This will cut through all the noise, all the speculation, and it will show people what's above them.
So thank you for the presentation, first off, because that's a lot of information to go through. And I know you've done that a few times now on various platforms, so I appreciate it. So a few things come to mind then, Patrick. Who exactly put this defense network there, and what exactly is it defending against, or what is it defending against?
So it clearly isn't us. So it appears to be a second species that live here. The sphere network, of how it models out architecturally, it means that it's controlled from the ground up. You see, the spheres themselves are only small, and they're end nodes, you know, in the system, which means that the bulk of the processing is occurring on the ground or under the ground. So what it looks to be is there is mass infrastructure, which is built under the ground, maybe hundreds of feet under the ground, which is connecting upwards to this network and then zooming in on people or targeting objects as they come to our atmosphere. And that's the only way it can operate. So it looks to be an ultra-terrestrial system that's been here pretty much forever, because there's actually there is a reference to it in biblical imagery, and you'll see it. There's a picture of Jesus holding a glass ball, and inside you'll see a triangle of three stars in perfect trilateration. So to me, it's all these little hints, and it to me is pretty obvious what it is now. Whenever the U.S. government is talks about aliens and stuff, they talk about extraterrestrials, but in fact, it's ultra-terrestrials. That's what it is. The only thing is, they live in their own separate domain, just like humans live in their own separate domain from primates. So the primates think they're king of the world. Humans think they're the king of the world, when in fact, it's these other guys that are the kings of the world, and that's how it is. That's what it appears to be.
How do these spheres fit into the overall ufology picture then? Because you have different types of beings talked about, different types of craft. You mention ultra-terrestrial, crypto-terrestrial, extraterrestrial, interdimensional. Do these fit for you in that lore where the general UFO conversation is, that we have another species, like you say, on this planet? This is a defense mechanism they've put up, and it fits into that larger body of conversation. Is that fair?
Yeah. So from my tests, I in the book, it shows an image of one of these like large grays that I kind of figured out a way of doing a dog whistle and seeing if I could get something to interact. And it appears that these guys are nocturnal. They live underground. They have been here for a very long time, and it's not just one species, but a number of different ones. Some look very human, and some look very, very different, and some look very scary. So it looks like a very multicultural system, or second species, if you want to call it that, or second society, that live here among us. It's just we're not aware of it. And from what I can tell, they use a thing called what I kind of modeled out. It appears to be localized time dilation. So what that means is that they're walking around normally, and we're all in freeze frame. So if you can imagine, if you're going to walk among a potentially hostile group, the safest way to do it is through time dilation, because you can just walk around normally and everyone and everything is in freeze frame. And that's where it looks. When I was doing my tests, I found that we could only see this guy in about four frames of a camera that was running at 60 frames a second. So the thing is that these guys, they're walking around normally, and we just can't. It's all happening between the frame rate of our eyes. And but it does appear that they can snap out of that anytime they want. So it's like something they can switch on and off. But there also seems to be something else I noticed. Because I know in the tape isn't great, but I can see what's going on, but it needs to be improved. Two of them looked to be walking through the table as well, and the third one stopped and looked at what we were doing, which kind of suggests that they're actually operating in a almost like a different realm. It's like they might be fourth dimensional and we live in a third dimension. So if you can imagine, like on a computer, it's like different users have different roles and different permissions and different access. And it's like the universe might be like maybe a six or seven dimension system, but we only have access to three dimensions. Well, actually what's going on around us is actually in seven dimensions. But like, as I say, like in a computer architectural layer, is that certain groups or certain users will have certain access to certain parts. And that's what we appear to only have access to the three dimensions.
Can you touch on the dog whistle technology? Because this is something that a lot of folks came to know well through James Fowler, part of Skywatcher. Mm-hmm. You, however, would say your version of this technology you've had probably before Fowler, that as we know publicly anyway, for around 10 years. Can you touch on what it is and how it works?
Well, the type threes, they create crop circles. And they've been seen doing it a number of times. And in one of the crop circles, there was a binary code. So I was like, okay, well, what does the code say? And it came up with some, you know, nuanced kind of message. But what I noticed was the language it used. So what I'd done was I replicated the language, or copied the language, and then I inserted my own commands, converted that to binary, and then did a few other little bits to it as well. Put that into an app, into a phone, and then I played it in 30 East Drive, thinking, well, if the type threes are here and I play this code, something will happen. And within 30 seconds, it all kicks off. All the sensors start going off. There's interaction. People are asking questions. The lights flash back and so forth. In fact, it triggers poltergeist activity as well on different floors when this thing's running. So, that's what it does. I've had people test it. I've had third parties test it. They've had good results with it. There's another guy who tested one of my units. I have a thing called a Q-scope and a Q-strobe. It's like a strobe system. And that's what I used in the book back in 2015. And what it does, it produces a vertical shaft of light. And what it does is that the strobe itself isn't a constant. It's actually in random. It's in a state of flux all the time. And it uses a very small, very tight, small wavelength of light. And it's very intense. And the idea of it was to burn through optical stealth, which is how this guy came visible. So what happens is that if you're using some sort of optical stealth technology, what it means is you have photons that are hitting you, and then your outfit or whatever you're wearing is then processing that and then rebroadcasting it, making you invisible. But what the system does is it overwhelms it with noise. And so what it creates is a reflection. So it allows you to see these guys through their stealth. In fact, someone bought one of these units and took it home because they were getting poltergeist effects at home, and they turned it on and they saw these two big guys with big gray big eyes and like big tall grays standing in his living room, and it scared him so much that he ran out of his house. He then went over to a friend's house. I mean, he was in such a state. He then booked himself into a hospital for 2 or 3 days, and he hasn't done it since.
Can you expand on a comment you made back in your interview with Ross Coulthart, at least, and you've touched on it here? When I look at the night sky, I see a network, I see engineering. What exactly are you seeing? Is it just these formations and patterns, or is there a larger message there?
The whole planet appears to be surrounded by engineering. Type 2s are training across the sky, and then they then terminate at a Type 1 V formation in the sky, which is either either a horizontal or a vertical configuration. And this is what Beatrice is looking into as well with the VASCO project, which they call transients. And what they're finding is triplets, and the triplets match the V formations.
So there's a little link there between the work of Dr. Beatrice Villarreal, which is getting a lot of steam, is starting to be picked up in the mainstream. There are some peer reviews beginning to come through, and you think that's a direct correlation, that what we're picking up, those pre-Sputniks especially, which I think the pre-Sputnik thing is the big deal there, is there were very few, if any, satellites that we knew of. Let's say there could have been top secret Nazi satellites or US satellites, you know, potentially, but generally, these objects were the Type 1, the Type 2s. These were being picked up, and that's what's being picked up on those plates, yeah?
Correct.
Okay. I've got a few listener questions I wanted to get to before we finish off, but I want to ask you a question here. So spheres are one of those subjects that are pretty controversial. I see a lot of videos, pictures, things posted online. Right now, the biggest controversy is the Bledsoe's posting a lot of videos of orbs in the sky, for example. So if we're just talking points of light in the sky, they have rather unequivocally had people show this point of light was the ISS, it was the space station. Here was the timing, here was the date, and they've given really detailed explanations. Mm-hmm. Yet it seems no one ever comes out, for example, right now, the Bledsoe's and goes, oops, yep, we got that one wrong, or we made a mistake. They either double down or completely ignore. For you, Patrick, what's your vetting process for this is a genuine sphere, as opposed to, do you know what, this could be a balloon, this could be something in the sky, prosaic, you know, what's your own thought process there?
Well, there's a few things. Number one, the light they emit atomic light, which is a very distinct identifier, which is something that balloons do not emit, or do satellites, or planes, or do streetlights. It's a very pure light wave that can only be produced through atomic light, the atomic light process. Number two, the formations and the way they're moving. As I said, the spheres will operate in only one or two formations, either the horizontal configuration or the vertical. And once you learn how they work, you can spot them a mile away. Also, they don't strobe. They don't do anything like that. They are consistent, static, very clean, pure light forms, lights presence. And also, that again, what you see when they move, you will see a slight blur as well, because what they're doing is that they're ionizing the gas or energizing the gas molecules surrounding them. So what you see is when they move, they'll look like a blur as they go along. Yeah. So again, you don't get these with balloons. You don't get these with other things. What you're seeing is an atmospheric signature.
That's fair. One more thing I want to pick up on before some listener questions to finish off. You mentioned you had met with Kirsten Gillibrand, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, back before the original UAP hearings. Was that face-to-face, virtual? Was it with a staffer? And I ask this specifically because recently we've had Mark Christopher Lee come out to a rather quick burning flame, which burnt all too bright too quickly, where he claimed to have spoken to Robert Bigelow. He then spoke to myself, said he had heard his voice on the phone. He then, within 24 hours, confirmed that, you know, things had went quiet. Bigelow was the source. And then Bob Bigelow, through George Knapp, said, I've never spoke to this guy before in my life. Mm-hmm. People can read into those conspiracies what they will. Was Bigelow lying? Was Mark lying? What was your interaction directly with Senator Gillibrand?
Well, I'm based in the UK, so getting to the US isn't easy, or, you know, I can't do it overnight. I have a team in the US as well. In fact, I have research teams everywhere from Australia to Brazil, also in the US as well. And one of them is deep into politics, and he knows everyone in Congress, and he's the one who gets meetings for us. And he presented all the data to her, and to which she was impressed, very impressed in the beginning. In the beginning, we were going to get meetings and so forth, but it seems like they read it and went, oh my gosh. And they shut the doors on us. But at the same time, I've also spoken to other ones as well. I can't remember her name. She's got dark hair, used to be a model. That one,
Anna Plina Luna.
That's the one, yeah. I spoke to one of her staffers as well. So I do speak to Congress or at least staffers, you know, now and again when I need to. I do try to spread this mathematical model to them. But so far it's a little bit hard because they say one thing publicly, but when you actually speak to them or speak to their staffer, they seem very blasé. So I don't know.
Do you think they're getting a lot thrown at them? Thinking of like specifically this for your average person to understand some of the detail, including congressmen and women, it might be a bit much for them to take in, so it's easy to dismiss. And yeah, they are getting, look at Burleson, who right now has Grush, he has Greer, he has all these different names, Danny Sheehan and co, Jeremy Corbell, all speaking to him, all trying to give their narrative, their opinion. Do you think it's difficult to get anything like this in front of those types of folks now because they are so, I don't want to say well-informed, but they're being informed by so many different angles that it's difficult for you to get something like that in front of them?
It could be. The other thing is, as I say, is a lot of these other researchers, they give their opinion. But what I'm giving is mathematical replication, which you can go away and test.
Hmm.
So plus signal information as well. I can tell you how to pick it up, where it is. If you read the book, I've actually mapped the network across the country. I even know the elevation it's operating at. I know the paranormal effects that are going on in that location. It's all in the book. The data sets are empirical. So the problem is, Gary Nolan said a few years ago that disclosure is an IQ issue.
Hmm.
And someone can give you the right data, but if you're not either willing to read it or capable of processing it, then you're not going to get anywhere. But in saying that, the US government has come forward and said pretty much everything. I can imagine anyway. For instance, they're saying that these objects are coming from the ocean, which they are. They're coming from, in fact, the Sphere network is coming out of the ground. It also deploys at Skinwalker as well. It comes out of the ground, it comes out of lakes, it comes out of the ocean. There appears to be deep space or deep sea bases where these things are built and deployed and controlled from. There appears to be...
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, built points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
These objects are highly energetic. They can outperform pretty much everything we throw at them. We can't jam them. In fact, you might be aware, Heathrow Airport,
mm-hmm.
Heathrow, and also there's another one. It might have been Gatwick. The Spheres went over there and locked the whole airport down, both of them at the same time, I think about 3-4 years ago.
When it had the reported object landed on the runway. Allegedly.
Something like that, yeah. And Manchester.
Yeah. There was a picture.
And you know, it gets kind of embarrassing for the government, because you're sending in your best army and your military and your technology, and they're not doing anything. It doesn't work. So the government is in a very hard position. You know, they, on one hand, they want to give the impression of being in control, but on the other hand, they're not.
Just making a note to try and put that Manchester Orb Airport picture on the screen, because it was really interesting when that came out at the time, because it was easy to dismiss, but very little information came forward about it. Even the whole, it was actually this, or because it certainly seemed like something physically was on that airport and it was shut down. So yeah, things went very quiet afterwards on that.
Well, as you know, there's more cameras at these airports than you can shake a stick at. You know, if they wanted to say it was a balloon, they could easily just got a camera somewhere and shown it being a balloon. But you don't. What you get is a complete data blackout, which means it probably was what they thought to say it was.
Your network, are you suggesting that some of the UFO crashes that we hear about or are told have happened are down to this network potentially and defense network? Yeah.
You see, the only way you can really disable a very high spec, very high quality build craft, should we say, the only way you can disable it is by using an equal technology or a better technology to it. So how it appears to model out is the SIR network itself can intercept the low technology crafts fairly far out, but the really advanced ones are the ones that we're seeing in our sky. The ones that can, like the stealth aircraft, allows them to get closer to the ground than what, you know, other aircrafts can. And what generally happens is that the network will go into like a swarm mode, and what it will do is it will just swarm the object from all angles and disable it. And then what happens is they will land in the ocean, and then the Tic Tac turns up, and it will come across the sky, it will drop down, and it'll use a thing called quantum locking. This is all in the book as well, with images and examples of replication. And it will drop down, lock onto the craft, and then extract it out. And this is why we haven't got these crafts laying around all over the country and stuff, because there is an extraction process. There's an intercept, disable, and extraction process, which is the same as what our own military do anyway. And those craft that are brought down and disabled are the interesting ones, because they're the ones who manage to navigate through the network. So you have to take them away and analyze them and figure out how they did it. And then with that, you have to then tighten up how the system works. And so when people say this is like an ancient system that's been left here for years on end and, you know, no longer managed or whatever, is actually completely false. This is a fully up-to-date, fully adaptable system, and it's manned by someone who lives here.
And final question we'll finish up on, Patrick, because you've been really good with your time on this Sunday evening, and this was sent in by quite a few folks. Have you any thoughts on the Bugosphere that has been sent around for some time now, and any potential correlation with again, Type 1, Type 2, Type 3 spheres?
Well, I mean, my own personal opinion on it, I think it's fake. And I say that because of the footage where you can see the wire on it as it flies past and so forth. Number two, the reason why I think that is because the lab tests that they're running in Mexico on it seem very strange. It seems to be more of a show rather than actually proper lab work. But in saying that, I would love to see it get tested. I'm aware of a new testing process that has been built. I can't really say too much about it. But there is a new testing process that's been built, which is hopefully mobile. And hopefully we'll be able to get it over there and have a look at it. But my own personal opinion is I think it's fake.
Yeah, I've shared that same opinion. I shared that video online of the wire above it. And the amount of folks who say they can't see the wire, even when I've shared the video of the real-time footage, the slowed-down footage, and the zoomed-in, where you can see that almost... we'll call it spider web effect, when you just see it glancing in the light. And I'm like, no, there's clearly a wire there, or a huge spider has shot a web over that Bugosphere. But that particular video, at least, looks hoaxed. And the object itself, the carbon dating going back to 12,600 years. They're saying it's the organic material within the carvings, the etchings, which they've taken and tested, because you can't test the metal for carbon dating. There's just a lot to it. Doesn't add up for me. So I was curious, and a lot of folks wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Well, there's what shines out for me is the engravings on the shell look like they've been done with a chisel, like really rough. You know,
they don't.
That's why they always have it from a distance, because when you look at it up close, it's obvious. It looks like it's been done with a chisel. If you look at those edges on the engravings, they're sharp. So if you put your finger on them, they're going to cut your finger, because they're new. If that's been floating around space for a long time, or in our air and so forth, it's going to be worn. It's going to have round edges. It's sharp edges. And you only get sharp edges with something that's been recently built.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. And I think time will tell, hopefully, on that one. And finally then, Patrick, where do you see this work you're doing going? You mentioned you're working on the system. People can see these things for themselves. You'll have a live stream potentially set up. But are we going to see these sort of sightings intensify? Are we going to get more captures? Is this something that is going to be built on? Where does it go?
I think it's going to become more and more common. More and more common. I mean, going back 10, 15 years, you wouldn't have seen this at all. But now it's pretty much every other day. A new video is coming out, and bigger people will see them. You know, celebrities will see them. People who are in the mainstream will see them, and so forth. A bit like the lady who saw it the other day. Is it Kirsty? Is that her name?
Casey Musgrave is a country singer. Yeah. I was not familiar with her beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I haven't really looked into that much because I haven't had time. But from the formations that it looks to be producing, it does look similar to what we're seeing with the Sierra network. Now, there's other people have said it's Starlink and so forth, but I need to do a bit more digging on it. But from what I can tell so far, there are anomalies with it, which would suggest that it's not Starlink.
Yeah, and just for parity on that, again, I've not done too much digging, but we discussed that before, Patrick, that when I was having a look at both sides, anyone saying it's Starlink, and it sounds fair, gave the example that she's on a plane 45 to 50,000 feet in the air. She's looking at this from a different vantage point, obviously, from being on the ground. And even something that is relatively straight, if you look at it head on, could look in a triangular formation, especially for that length of time. And I like the example someone gave, that if you stand in the middle of a train track and look straight down, it will look like those two train tracks converge into one point, almost like a triangle in the distance. But they don't. We know they'll keep separating, but it's just perspective. And I like that way of explaining it. So I was on Metabunk having a look at some of the work on there, and even some of those folks have said they need further data to make this an open and shut case. But yeah, I think for me, it definitely looks like there's a potential that a celebrity's filmed. The positive for me on this is, and this is a personal opinion, because I think there's a lot of good work you've done with some of the Sphere Network stuff and others folks have done as well, is we don't just jump on everything as an orb, a sphere, a UFO, an alien, because it doesn't help the topic, the conversation, short, medium, or long term, because anything that gets, and again, I'll use the Bledsoes right now, everything is being doubled down and tripled down on, and it just damages things for everyone else. And I would rather folks were able to look at something and say, I don't know, rather than, yes, it definitely is, and I wouldn't hear it any other way. And that happens all too often in the subject, to both extremes, both from skeptics and debunkers to folks on the other side, where every single thing is an alien entity, an alien body, because they really want it to be. But yeah, that's just my opinion on all of that.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there who think that certain things are real, and it doesn't matter what you say, they will not change your position. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what civilians think. It's what the scientists think. And that's really why I kind of like working with scientists. That's why I spend more time talking to scientists and professors than I do anything else. because you know you convince them, you get them on side, and they'll just dig in there and show if it's true or not. And hopefully, I mean, with the work that Beatrice is doing, she will be able to prove this technically.
Yeah, absolutely. And finally, how can people find you, follow you, and also find your work?
I'm pretty much on X. I mean, I do have a Facebook group as well, but I don't really use that as much anymore. It's mostly all on X. My book is on Amazon. It's only like about 10, 15 pounds. It's not expensive. The reviews for it are glowing. I think anyone who comes from a technical background will absolutely love it.
Excellent. And what I'll say, folks, is if I've asked your question, thank you for sending them in. Many of you did. I tried to build them into the body of the interview. Patrick's limited for time, and so am I today. But what I'd ask, if you've got any questions for Patrick, send me them over, and I can look hopefully at getting Patrick on in the coming weeks or months, and he could go through those and answer your questions as best he can, especially with some of those follow-ups coming with your equipment you're going to be building, the live streaming. All sounds very promising. So Patrick, once again, thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been great. Thank you.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.